There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
And welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason we broadcast from my basement out in Elbert County, Colorado, I'm a father of five, and so is Dave Buhner. And we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview and try to trace what God is doing in history. And, well, Dave, you got the news. Just last night, D. James Kennedy passed away. And that is a loss to the kingdom of God. And yet the man did some tremendous things for God's kingdom. And we should be grateful for that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to call it a loss. I'll say it's a reassignment for one of God's workers. The kingdom of God marches on. D. James Kennedy did a great deal of work. We're indebted to the man for his labors. He did many things. Of course, he had the radio program for so many years, which reached so many people and gave them a new perspective. He was active in politics. He created Knox Theological Seminary. He wrote voluminous books, did films. The man truly was a laborer for Christ.
He was a strong worldview guy, always brought a good biblical worldview to bear. Optimistic. Remember the book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? Tremendous resource there. A lot of good things coming out of D. James Kennedy. Folks, D. James Kennedy, a great man of God, passed away, as well as Jerry Falwell. Dave, this has been a year of some of the giants passing on.
Well, I think it's time for the baton to be passed to the next generation. You know, it's really an exciting time if you think about it, because some of the icons are going to heaven to be with their fathers. We all hope to one day, and it's time for the next to stand up. The challenge is there.
And folks, God is doing something. There's no question. Since the 1970s, there has been a biblical worldview, a self-consciousness of that worldview, and people have established colleges, universities. Jerry Falwell's Liberty University was established back in the 60s and 70s, and then you had D. James Kennedy and everything that he did with Knox Theological Seminary. These guys were doing something significant. They wanted to make an impact, and they trained leaders. Leaders to go into politics, leaders to go into churches. And folks, this world is not going to be the same because you had men like D. James Kennedy and Jerry Falwell doing the work. And now, as Dave mentioned, they're passing it on to the next generation. And Dave, the next generation are doing the same sort of thing. They're building colleges. I think of Doug Wilson and the work that he's been doing up in Moscow, Idaho. They've got a college up there called New St. Andrews College, and they're training some 200-300 young folks every single year out of that institution. Also, Patrick Henry College, that we've mentioned a few times on the air, was established by Mike Ferris. And Mike's got a tremendous vision, Dave. I don't think this world is going to be the same because of what Mike Ferris is doing out in Virginia.
No, I don't think it will be. Coming out of Patrick Henry, they're very good at training people to be future senators and congressmen and leaders of that sort. New St. Andrews is giving people a classical worldview, deep in classical education, great thinkers. But when you train leaders, leaders who will train other leaders, you have a generational chain that it keeps growing.
And Dave, at the same time that secular education has been going downhill big time, you have a much more rugged form of education coming through some of these men. I think also of Joe Moorcraft and the Christ College that he established back in the 1990s. That's going, I think, very well, I think, out in the Carolinas. So some tremendous things happening right now all over the world as the second generation folks are starting to become a little more self-conscious of a distinctively Christian worldview, and they're training young people to make an impact wherever God calls them to be. In fact, the secular press, Dave, is now aware of some of what is happening in the Christian world. Newsweek did a full-page article on Patrick Henry College, and boy, were they excited about what's going on in Virginia there with Mike Ferris. They're just thrilled.
They're excited and thrilled like in a horror film or like in a good ride?
I think the name of the article is Campus Crusaders, you know, so... Yeah, they're seeing that Mike Ferris' vision is to raise up future leaders for America, whether it be future senators or Supreme Court justices. But a lot of these young folks at Patrick Henry College have solidified some great internships at the White House and with Congress and other places. So, indeed, there is a tremendous amount of potential coming out of Patrick Henry College.
And in fact, the interns do so well that I'm hearing that senators and people in power in Washington are actually asking for interns instead of just, you know, taking the list that comes. They're asking because there's such exemplary interns.
Well, exactly. You've got men and women of tremendous character coming out of home schools all over America at the same time where the national character is falling apart. You don't see young people with tremendous honesty and courage and hard work and diligence and respect for authority hardly anymore, because, you know, Dave, those sorts of things take a lot of work to work into the character and the fiber of a young man or a young woman. And fortunately, by God's grace, the homeschooling movement has really emphasized this, and you have millions upon millions of households today that are training young people with godly character at the same time that the national character is fading. So I don't think God's done with this nation yet, Dave. I'm in a good mood, to be honest with you.
I am too. I like the idea that Patrick Henry is raising a bunch of crusaders. This time, instead of taking Jerusalem back, they might take the Constitution back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a very good mood today. I guess you could tell that from the first segment. But in just a moment, when we get back, the biggest problems in the world and why we're really not all that concerned about it. That's next on Generations. My name's Kevin Swanson.
You are listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, friends, Kevin Swanson with you, looking at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview today. And as we do that, man, that really puts me in a good mood, Dave. You know, the world is filled with problems, and you look at the front page of the newspaper, and I think a lot of people like to read about problems. They like to get very concerned about certain things, and of course the solution is always government. That's the solution, and when people put their hope and their faith in princes, guess what happens, Dave? You wind up with failure. I mean, princes will always let you down, but the God of the Word of God will never let you down. And that's the message we want to convey on this program. But, folks, remember, the biggest problems in the world are the fact that the family is really dissipating. The whole construct of the family hardly exists anymore in most of the Western nations. In fact, the American family is the weakest in the Western world, according to a recent Rutgers University study. And, as you know, 37% of children are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. So, yeah, the family is falling apart. Come on, deal with it. Just admit it. The vision of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Betty Friedan, the feminists, the egalitarians, and all the others, the vision of the left, the liberals that established the vision for this nation, the vision for Republicans, Democrats, for the entire nation, for the public schools, for how we do things, how we present our university teaching, how we do our economics, et cetera, the vision to destroy the family has come about. That goal to destroy the family in America has come about. The family in America is the weakest in the Western world. Now, ironically, at the same time that you have the growth of empires, you also have the decline of the family. And as the family declines, it appears that the empire hardly has the foundation upon which it can stand. So, Dave, that's the irony, I think, that we're looking at here, is that the empire just simply cannot sustain. If you've got the family in America as the weakest in the Western world, you hardly have the character to maintain the strength of the empire as we have enjoyed this empire, you know, for, say, the last 100 years or so.
It's pretty interesting. This empire was built on strong families, strong Christian values. The empire has tried to become a surrogate. And yet, just the other day, I was reading a study. It was from the Heritage Foundation. And it said that the cure for poverty in America is get married and stay married.
Yeah.
Don't have children out of marriage. Get married, stay married. If you will get married and stay married, your chances of being a contributor to this society are greatly enhanced. And yet, what is government doing but trying to destroy marriage?
Yes, exactly. And Dave, I said 37% of children are born without fathers. But Dave, think about the minorities. Among the blacks, that number is 70%. I mean, among inner city blacks and the average African-American family, you have 70% of these young folks born without fathers. Dave, of course, that contributes to poverty. But that is the goal of the feminists. That's what they want. They don't want the nuclear family. And, of course, because they don't want the nuclear family, they will reduce this empire to a pile of ashes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, why we are in a good mood. But we're going to go over the biggest problems in the world. And, of course, the breakdown of the family is significant. Government is far more intrusive today than it ever has been. You know, as Ben Franklin said, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, either you're going to be living a moral life, you'll have strong families in your country, or you're going to be tyrannized. You will be governed big time by tyrants, and that's precisely what has happened in our country over the last 100 years. We've seen the growth of government taking 10% of the gross national income on all levels, local, federal, and state levels, back in 1913, about 10%. Now it's just close to 50%. So government has, quintupled in size by a percentage of the take of the people's income. So, ladies and gentlemen, the size of government, it's huge. You have so much more intrusive government in our lives than you have ever had before. Dave, just among friends and contacts that I know of, lots and lots of social services investigations over, say, the last 2 to 3 years. Government is in people's homes. They're checking on their families constantly. You have the Internal Revenue Service that didn't exist before 1913. 1913 was the beginning of the national income tax. That did not exist prior to 1913. You did not have people getting into your homes, getting into your papers, trying to figure out how much money you make. You didn't have any of that prior to 1913. Government is way more intrusive today. You have planning commissions today. You didn't have planning commissions 100 years ago. The governments didn't care what you did on your own property. They believed in the right to own your own property and do what you want with your own property. But after about 1913, you had all kinds of government controls on what you do with your private property. In fact, Dave, I just got a story across the web, came I think last week, where a man was put in jail for 6 months for building a fence. This was somewhere in California. He built a fence without a permit, or he fixed a fence. I think he fixed his fence without a permit, and he wound up in jail for 6 months. So, folks, hey, government is growing like crazy, like crazy. The intrusiveness of government all over the place. Your right to privacy hardly exists anymore. SAT scores have fallen over the last 2 years, actually the last 30 years when you really get right down to it. If you look at the number of times they've changed the SAT and the decline of the SAT scores over the years. Education in America is failing. That's just a truism. Everybody knows that's what's going on. The dollar is falling. It dropped 11.5% last year against the euro, and it's dropping again this year as well. The national debt is soaring. We talked about that before. The total debt in America stands at $48 trillion, and that does not count the Social Security IOUs. New York Times has just come out and talked about the median price of American homes, expected to fall this year for the first time since federal housing agencies began keeping statistics in 1950. Again, according to the New York Times, rather than being limited to the once booming Northeast and California, price declines are also occurring in cities like Chicago, Minneapolis, and Houston, where the increases of the last decade were modest by comparison. On an inflation-adjusted basis, the national median price is not likely to return to its 2007 peak for more than a decade. That according to the New York Times. Also, a top Bank of America executive privately believes that up to 90% of the country's all-A mortgages will go into default. Countrywide Mortgage CEO Angelo Mozzillo was on CNBC last week, and he said the mortgage crisis striking America today is one of the greatest panics he's ever seen in 55 years in financial services, and he predicted that the housing downturn is so bad it's likely to drag the economy into a recession. Ladies and gentlemen, the Piper has invoiced. It may be time to pay the Piper. The scheme also that was focused on destroying the family, taking away incentive to have children, love them, provide Social Security to families, spend $45 trillion into your children's Social Security fund, that scheme is failing. And even the liberals are acknowledging this. As you read the national media outlets, you find that, hey, the baby boom is about to retire. Social Security is about to bust. The earliest baby boomers are 62 years old, and in the next decade, ladies and gentlemen, the baby boomers will retire. And the investments they were relying on may very well shrink to nothing in a hyperinflation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bad news is that these were the people that aborted 50 million of their own children over the last 40 years. You have the baby boom retiring. You have a bunch of people that would have been there to love their parents and provide an income, provide a sustenance for their parents in their waning years. Those kids were killed by their own parents. So guess what you have? You have a period of time where we have abandoned relationships. We have a period of time where elderly people will, I think, be abandoned by the millions and probably even euthanized. So this is what we have, a relationship-starved age, an economic decline in this country, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a very good mood. And here's why I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood because everything we've talked about so far has been focused on money, money and power. The empire, yeah, is falling. And you know what? I'm not all that concerned about it. We're just not concerned about that sort of thing because our hearts aren't set on money and power. Empires are built on money and power. But that's not why we disciple our children. That's not why we homeschool our children. It's not so that they can make a bunch of money and gain a bunch of power. We don't need a powerful empire with lots and lots of money. We've got something better than money, and that is relationships. Ladies and gentlemen, for the last 15 years out of our lives, we've been building relationships. We've been focused on relationships. We've been willing to sacrifice money for relationships. We've been willing to sacrifice a double income in our households for relationship. We've been willing to sacrifice overtime pay for relationships. We have focused on building relationships with God, having family worship time every day and discipling our children in the Word of God, and we have knit our hearts together in our families over all these years, as well as within the church. We focused on not building the mega church, but building hardcore, really close-knit relationships in our families. And you know what? Though the earth be removed, God is in the midst of her. That's what Psalm 46 says. Dave, as you think about all the tragedy in the world, you know, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, as Psalm 46 says, you know what? We're at peace because God is in the midst of her. God will help her, and that right early. God is there for the Church of Christ, and we're just not going to be concerned about what happens in the future for that reason. That's why we're optimistic.
Empires have fallen before in the past, and the church has still survived. What it has done, though, is created opportunities for people of great character, hopefully like the children we're raising and we're investing in, people of great character to stand up and become great in the kingdom of God. This is an opportunity. If you don't have conflict, if you don't have a little testing of the faith, you don't know who has the faith.
That's a great point, Dave, and it's ultimately some of these trials and tribulations that really sharpen our faith. And what happened is that people have been lulled in this idea that they don't really need to trust in God, and they really don't need to develop close relationships with their families, so their families take care of each other and the churches take care of each other during hard times. What they've been lulled into thinking is that somehow the empire, the government, will provide Social Security and take care of them, so the only relationship that's left is really the relationship of the individual to the state. But in the end, that system always fails. Those empires build themselves so high, those towers fall down. And that's precisely what's happening. We're the greatest debtor nation on the face of the earth. We have very little national character left. The family is the weakest in the Western world. This empire is not going to survive. But Dave, if we as Christians are building a system of community within our local churches, if we're building strong families, then Dave, when that big facade comes down, we're going to have something right there. Just like, remember the Roman Empire, Dave, back in the first couple centuries?
It was a little before my time.
Oh, yeah, but you've probably heard about it, haven't you?
Yes.
The Roman Empire, it was huge, but that thing started crumbling. But Dave, even as they were persecuting the church, and even as the church was growing, the church was there. It had developed communities. They were taking care of the widow and orphan. You know, they were establishing those communities over some 300 years. And then as that Roman Empire fell apart, there was something there. There was a life there. There was community there. There was something that civilization could rely on for the next 1,000 years. Even after the Roman Empire came apart.
And as Father Fescio has said, and we've quoted him several times on this program, he believes that the American homeschool is the new monastery for the coming dark age, which means he thinks the empire is going to fall, and we're going to have a period of decentralization, but a period where the church, where the homeschool, sits there as monasteries. And the monasteries in medieval times or the Middle Ages was that which rebuilt Europe. I mean, they rebuilt commerce, they rebuilt education, they rebuilt culture. Now, it took them a long time because it happens to take a long time when you're non-centralized. And then there was a little threat from Islam, and there was some unity in Europe against that threat after the Battle of Tours especially. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. We might get to rebuild this thing.
Folks, it begins with where our focus is. And is our focus on the money? and the power. Is that why you're raising your children? Or are you raising your children for the kingdom of God, to glorify God and to enjoy Him? One of my favorite passages, Dave, is in Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stall. In other words, bad things are happening. The economy is falling. There's nothing there. And then verse 18, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now here's a guy saying, hey, everything's going downhill. Everything's depressing. The economy is failing. Huge depression has hit the land. But I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. There's a guy who's got his focus right. Right on God.
Well, he's focusing on God's kingdom, not on the kingdom of man. It's not the city of man that he wants to build. It's the city of God, and the city of God is a whole different kind of city.
And the pagans get really depressed when their empires fall, but they call these times the Dark Ages, but we don't. We call them the Great Times. Great times where Christian communities can be laid out. And Dave, let's just talk about geopolitics just for a little bit. You know, the Muslims are gaining influence everywhere, and we're reading that just about every other day on the front page of the newspaper. Once they were hardly a factor in world politics, from about 1600 to 1950, after the Reformation, the Muslims were hardly an influence, but now they're a huge influence. They're taking over Europe. The humanist worldview is rotting out Europe big time, and now the Muslims are taking over. But, you know, that's not really a problem for us, is it?
No.
We're kind of in a good mood over that.
You got humanism dying. Yeah, I'm not so upset about that.
Okay, and the Muslims are fighting the humanists, more or less. And this is not a lot like what happened during the period of the Reformation, when God was really doing something in a little town in Germany with a monk who had a little seminary down there, and God was working with a Reformation force, but at the same time, you had this geopolitical issue where the Holy Roman Empire was fighting the Muslims at the gates of Vienna. But they didn't have the opportunity to persecute what was really happening and what God was really focused on, and that was the Church of Christ.
Yeah, the Reformation sort of slipped under the radar initially, because the church at Rome had to be concerned with the Turk threat. I mean, it wasn't but 500 years earlier that the Turks were well north of Paris. I mean, they had almost captured most of France, and it took a few hundred years to push them down the Iberian Peninsula. The Turks were coming around hungry. They had been knocking at the gates of Vienna. I mean, there was a siege going on there for some time. Yes, the Roman Church and the Empire was threatened. Constantinople had, for all intents and purposes, which was the other center of Christendom, fallen to the Turks. And this threat, as opposed to the current threat that we have, the threat in history was a rich Ottoman Empire. This is a poor, angry mob.
Yeah. And the same thing is happening today, folks. The humanists will be very busy. Yeah, the humanist states of Europe and America, to some extent, will be very busy fighting the Muslim forces. But while that's happening, God will be busy. He'll be building His church. Significant things will be happening, and yet another wave will beat on the shores of human civilization as God's kingdom continues. It's all about the church. Ephesians chapter 1 says that Jesus is head of all things. He is the sovereign king over every aspect of history to the church. God is going to take care of His church. Hey, He sent His Son to die for His precious church, that kingdom, and He's not going to give up on it. It doesn't matter what these puny little men and their puny little empires are going to try to do. It will never, never, never conquer the Church of Jesus Christ. Empires will come and empires will go, but the Church of Christ will continue from generation to generation. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why we are in a good mood. You can email me personally at host@kevinswanson.com if you'd like to interact with this program. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.